This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you for listening today. I greatly appreciate it. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. We've got a top 200 study guide. It's 31 pages. Definitely highlights some of the most important clinical pearls that you're going to come across in practice. As well as things that often show up on board exams or pharmacology exams throughout your career. So go check that out, reallifepharmacology.com. All right, the drug of the day today is lorazepam. Brand name of this medication is Ativan, and it is a drug that I definitely see used a lot in practice. Particularly, the most frequent situation I see it used is management of anxiety. And more specifically even than that, I definitely see it prescribed as needed a lot in hospice patients. Mechanistically, what does this drug do? It enhances the action of GABA. And if you remember from your physiology, GABA is an inhibitory type neurotransmitter. So by enhancing that action, you could imagine it's going to create some sedation, some lethargy, and things of that nature as we're trying to manage symptoms of anxiety and agitation, for example. Other potential indications that I have seen it used for, neuroleptic malignant syndrome and serotonin syndrome. Those are a couple of really rare situations that happen due to adverse drug reactions, as you could probably guess from serotonin-related drugs, and then neuroleptic malignant syndrome would be from typically from antipsychotic medications. A couple others, chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting, particularly anticipatory. That is an indication for benzodiazepines like lorazepam. Seizures. There is an injectable formulation of lorazepam, so naturally giving IV lorazepam can help with management of status epilepticus or an acute seizure type situation. Other dosage forms with lorazepam, most commonly I'm going to see used oral dosage forms. 0.5 to 2 milligrams are the dosage forms. In geriatric patients, the dosing that I typically see is usually no more than 1 milligram at a time, but it's more like 0.25 to 0.5 milligram dosages. Younger patients, you might see it pushed up a little bit, again, depending upon what the indication is as well. So oral, again, tablet, most common dosage form. I mentioned the IV or injectable is available. That's 2 milligrams per mil and 4 milligrams per mil. And then there is an oral liquid called Ativan Intensol. It's by the brand name there. And that is 2 milligrams per mil. So if you give somebody a fourth of a mil, so 0.25 mils, that's going to be equivalent to 0.5 milligrams. One thing to note about the IV formulation or the injectable formulation is some of them may have polyethylene glycol, and that can cause some toxicity if a patient gets too much of that in their system. So basically what I think you should remember is if you've got a patient that's been getting IV or injectable Ativan for a long period of time, or higher doses for a longer period of time, there is the potential for polyethylene glycol accumulation and toxicity. So pay attention to that for those folks that are requiring IV lorazepam for a longer than usual period of time. Adverse drug reactions, I historically remember alcohol in a pill, sedation, fall risk, ataxia, slurred speech, confusion, cognitive and slowing, impairment, judgment, thought issues. Those are all definitely indicative of potential adverse effects from lorazepam. They are dose dependent. The higher the dose, the more and more likely you're going to snow somebody and make them more and more sedated. That's just the way the drug works there. It is on the BEERS list. Driving risk, falls risk, fracture risk associated with those falls. So definitely pay attention to that in our geriatric patients and try to avoid a drug like lorazepam in our geriatric patients. They can definitely cause some issues. It is a Schedule 4 controlled substance, so addiction dependence is certainly possible. There are boxed warnings, particularly with use of opioids and the risk for overdose, excessive sedation, things of that nature. Risk for addiction, abuse, dependence, withdrawal, those are also warnings. With that said, I wanted to mention tapering a little bit. That's a question that comes up in practice. You know, how do I get this patient off the benzodiazepine? They've been on it for years, and I want to start to taper them. Most will start in the ballpark of probably 20 to 25% reduction. Now, this can vary based upon, you know, patient experience, clinician experience, you know, patient preference, what they want to do. But usually a ballpark reduction initially of 20 to 25%, every 1 to 2 weeks is a reasonable place to consider starting anyway. And you can certainly, gauge how that's going, by working with the patient and paying attention to them there. Pharmacokinetics, lorazepam does have is classified as an intermediate-acting benzodiazepine, and with that comes a half-life in the teens range. So 12 to 18 was the figure I saw listed on my research here. So that's not a crazy long time. The nice thing about lorazepam compared to maybe diazepam or Valium, for example, it doesn't have any active metabolites, and that's particularly troublesome generally in geriatric patients. So that can definitely be a big positive with lorazepam versus diazepam, which you have to worry about kind of accumulation and that drug lingering for a longer period of time. Now, I will say, going back to tapering, the shorter the half-life for a drug, generally the harder it is to taper. And that, I think, makes sense because that drug disappears from the body quickly. And we don't really get, you know, more of an even leveled disappearance of the drug levels, if that makes sense there. Onset of action is going to be pretty quick. Even with oral, it's probably 20 to 30 minutes. IV, you know, we're giving it intravenous. It's going to be quick. It's going to be onset typically of less than 10 minutes, which makes sense why we can use it for management of an acute seizure there. With renal function, we usually don't have to make too many adjustments with renal function. So that's a nice thing with lorazepam there. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're looking to take Naplex, BCPS, ambulatory care, geriatric, psychiatric exam, or the BCMTMS exam, go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. We've got a great list of resources there that have helped literally thousands of people pass their board exams. So go check that out, support the sponsor, get some great study content as well that's going to help you prepare to pass the exam that you need to pass. If you're a nurse, nurse practitioner, med student, we've got resources for you as well. Perils of Polypharmacy, recent book I put out based upon my experience in geriatrics, Great resource if you're a practicing clinician. Same thing with my drug interactions book in primary care. You can find that on Amazon. Great examples of real-world situations that you're going to find in those books. And then, of course, I've got the MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology. If you're a nursing student, that's probably the one you're going to want to pick up. And it's just really helpful for notes and some of the most important things that you're actually going to see in practice, and therefore, like, you're most likely to be tested on as well. So go check all those links out, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. There are a lot of drug interactions listed with lorazepam, but I will say the overwhelming majority are pretty simple and pretty straightforward. The risk with lorazepam and other medications is CNS sedation. So basically, any drug with sedative-type properties is going to add on to the sedative type properties of lorazepam. So your older antihistamines, diphenhydramine, hydroxyzine, tricyclic antidepressants are sedating, antidepressant trazodone is another good example, antipsychotics are sedating, opioids, other sleepers, Z-drugs, melatonin, all these drugs can have additive effects on top of lorazepam and can potentially increase the risk for over-sedating our patient. And then lastly, I wanted to hit this point twice because it really is important. Benzodiazepines and opioids, we really do our best to try to avoid using these together. And there is significant risks by increasing the risk for overdose, coma, excessive sedation, and ultimately death if the dose is high enough of these two medications being used together. So be really, really careful with that. You will see certain situations in practice, I know I have, where they are being used together. But we've got to be really, really careful with these medications. You want to make sure, if you are using them together, minimize the dose and possibly or hopefully try to taper off at least one of them in that situation if you can do it. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Share us with friends, colleagues, preceptors, other healthcare professionals that may benefit from some pharmacology education. Go subscribe at reallifepharmacology.com. Get that free 31-page PDF, top 200 study guide. And you might as well take advantage of some of the resources at meded101.com/store as well. With that, if you want to reach me, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, you can find me on LinkedIn. Connect with me there. Otherwise, you can find me mededucation101@gmail.com. Thanks so much. I'm going to sign off. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.